C is here. And maybe I will be their writer one day in the future. So we just thank the Lord that we are here. And being up here was not part of the plan. When I agreed to it, I didn't know that it would be so much work. But I greet everyone and protocol all observed. Special welcome and greetings to the students of CPUT. Welcome, guys. It's good to see you here. Amen. And happy birthday to my brother, my leader, the honorable leader, which I've learned. Yeah, happy birthday, bro. And, okay, I'm being taped. Can we take an ad break then? This thing, will it come off? Yeah. All right. Thank you, Ray. You see, this is what happens if we've got a good pastor. He'll put you under the bus and then help you out again. Okay. I think I need to be stitched up throughout my head. We need more of this. Okay.
Is it too small?
Yeah.
His ears are too small. That's I missed it.
Okay. No pictures, Basura.
Nothing sticks to you, brother.
Okay, no, it's fine. I will hold it. I will hold it. Okay, now I get it why he said he wants to stick something on everyone. So I'm that guy. I feel like I'm full of stickers now. But maybe I will never forget this friend of mine back home in KZN. And one reason is this. For 6 years, he smoked one pack within 3 days. I know we've got a lot of packs these days. A pack of cigarettes, not six pack of other things. So when he finally quit after being hospitalized and also being advised by a doctor, no, man, you must stop smoking, otherwise you'll die now. What he did, he went home, threw every cigarette away, and threw every ashtray, every lighter, and everything that's got to do with cigarettes and smoking. It was chucked out, which was a good thing for him and his health. 6 months later, what he did, he was doing great up until one stressful moment at work. You know what he did? Without thinking, he found himself reaching out to his back pocket as if the pack was still there. He hasn't been smoking for 6 months. His body has changed, but his mind had not fully caught up. That old pattern was still there, programmed in his thinking that there might be a peg in his pocket when things go bad. Like many of us, Bazalwane, know exactly what that feels spiritually for us. We've come to Christ, but every now and then the old way and pattern of thinking, they still reach us and haunt us like ghosts from the past. We are haunted by our background and our past every time, even though we are in Christ. So today in Ephesians chapter 4, as we see behind me, Paul shows us exactly how to win the battle of the mind in order so that we may be able to live out our true identity in Christ in this noisy world we are living in. So let's keep our Bibles open as I pray for us. Father, we thank you this morning that you have given us this time to come sit under your word. I pray, Lord Father, that may you use me as your mouthpiece to preach your word faithfully to your people. And Father, give us an ear to hear you, to be those who hear your word and afterwards want to be the doers of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Identity Conference has started on Friday. That's why I greeted our students. And Rob helped us. Rob, how are you? Rob took us through identity given and distorted. He helped us to see through that in Genesis from chapter 1 to chapter 3. And on Saturday, which was yesterday, our brother Jablani, Mr. Party, also took us through identity received in Christ. And we look at Ephesians chapter 2. And lastly, our brother Petrus took us through identity restored in Christ. Amen? So I will be taking us through identity lived out, which is the apical, which is the practical application of our theme, identity in a noisy world. So we'll be going through that this morning. So here in chapter 4, Paul shows us the practical key of winning the battle of the mind. If our thinking is not transformed, which means our living will never change. If our thinking is not transformed, our living will never change. And again, the Bible uses these words interchangeably, mind and the heart, and we'll see that, how it works out in our passage. And again, the big question now is, how do we actually live, or how do we actually win this battle of the mind in the daily living as we are sitting here? And Paul does a great job here. He gives us three clear practical steps that we'll walk through. Firstly, he says, reflect on your futile past, recall your changed life, renew your new self. These three things we're going to go through in this morning. Let's have a look at our first point. Reflect on your futile past. And Paul begins with a very strong command here. Do you see that in verse 17? He says, so I tell you this and insist in it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in futility of their thinking, which is verse 17. And why does he insist so strongly, Bazalwane? It's because we are dangerously so quick to forget our past before Christ. Amen? So he described the old life vividly and very clearly for us. He says our past was darkened and in understanding, which means that the human mind apart from Christ is a room with all the lights switched off. Amen? You can still think, reason, plan, and even be very intelligent, but spiritually you are dead. You are blinded. You can't see the truth about God. You can't see the truth about yourself. You can't even see the truth about real life the way God sees it. You know why? Because we are darkened without Christ. So we can say it's like trying to read a book with sunglasses on at night. What happens there? Yes, you can make up a few images and shapes, but the full picture is blurred and distorted because you are blinded by your sunglasses. You can't see clearly. So that's why intelligent people, Bazalwane, can believe and defend things which are completely empty, like ancestral worship and ideas that as long as I am a good person, I'll be fine. Their thinking feels normal to them at that point. But actually, it's futile, darkened, separated from God, ignorant because of hardened hearts, lost all sensitivity, given over to sensuality and impurity. They're living in the darkness. This is not just the way some people lived, Bazalwane. This is the way we once lived, you and I sitting here, dead in our transgressions and sin, following the ways of this world. And many of us come from families and communities whereby ancestral worship is just, it's just a norm. It's just a custom for us. It's the very center of life because everything is associated with it. Success, sickness, death, curse, birth, and all these other things that are tied up to our ancestors. It's what defines us as black people. Most people say, it's part of my life. I cannot quit. Maybe others here sitting here were once drunkards, liars, thieves, slanders, full of rage, bitter and proud. And of course, yes, we've got few party animals here, but it's in the past. Others elevated their status and wealth about everything else, above everything else, including God, who was nothing to them. For some, it was just fine, Bazalwane, to be involved in corruption, as we see in our government, and did anything just to get money. For others, it felt normal to just sleep around with anyone you feel like. Or for those who are married, to just cheat on your partner. It felt normal because your mind was darkened. But Paul here says, you must no longer live that way. Amen? Why? Because that thinking is futile. It is empty, meaningless, and cut off from the true life of God. And people trapped in it are spiritually dead, even if they look religious. We do have those who come to church. Their minds are darkened. They keep themselves over and over thinking that they can never, they can never satisfy. Thinking on things they will never satisfy, but they always think about them. And Bazaar, that is why the battle is in the mind. Tell your neighbor, the battle is in the mind. So if you don't clearly remember the emptiness and darkness of your past, Bazalwane, we will be tempted to go back when pressure comes. You'll always be tempted to go back. When family expects you to participate during those ancestral rituals, you'll be tempted to go back. When you lose your job and you are no longer able to support your family, you'll think of ways you used to do, easier ways that you know. When false teachers comes, Bazalwane, on campus, you know God the Mother. When those cults start coming, they will make you think and start doubting even God. Does he really exist? Or who's this Jesus now? What's this? Doubt will start creeping in. When your church family members is here, when we start talking bad about you and gossiping, including myself, you start doubting this God now. When you start losing patience during trials and suffering, you are tempted to take the easier way out. Say, no, I can't do this. I was better off. So just think of the Israelites after God delivered them out of Egypt. They were free, but they kept on looking back and craving the comfort of the slavery. They forgot the pain and the whips and the bitterness of bondage. They forgot about that during hard times. The same temptation, Bazalwane, whispers to us today. You know what does it say? Say, go back. It was easier then. Your culture defines you. At least you knew what to do when things are not going well. Maybe God is just angry at me. That's why he's not answering me. There is war happening in the mind. There is war happening in the mind. Constantly, daily. But we truly reflect, Bazalwane, on our past. We should feel disgusted, not want to go back when you think of our past. Not be like a dog which returns to his vomit. So we were darkened, Bazalwane, and our best thoughts were just nonsense. When we felt like, no, we are the wisest people, we were utterly nonsense, empty, futile. The more clearly you see the depth of the pit Jesus pulled you from, is the less attractive and disgusting your old life will become. God did what only he could do to you to save you and me. He made you and me to live in Christ. He illuminated our minds. And never forget that. It was Christ alone. So the first step in winning this battle of the mind is to deliberately reflect on your past, not to stay there, but so that you will never want to go back. When you look back, you are disgusted and say, I want to keep on pushing and moving forward and serving this God. First thing. Second thing, recall your changed life. Think of your changed life. Our second point. So Paul here continues in verse 20 to 21. He says, that, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Christ. Notice the two contrasts here, Bazalwane. The old way, what you used to live. The new way, what you learned and when you were taught about Christ. Those two contrasts. So your conversion was not just an emotional experience or accepting Jesus Christ. It was a radical re-education of your mind. When you received Christ, you heard the truth that is in Christ, and that truth began to reshape everything happening in your mind. The truth about Jesus Christ. Amen? So that is why Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Again, Jesus says in John chapter 5, verse 24, "Verily I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but he has crossed over from death to life." Isn't that wonderful? We have crossed over from death to life in Christ. This truth about Jesus leads to eternal life, Bazalwane. That's why Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." The gospel is the power of God, which illuminates and transforms and reshapes your mind. Amen? So we were saved through believing in that gospel, Bazalwane Bami. It's the grace we have received that have saved you through faith. And this is not from yourselves, by the way. It's the gift of God. Not by works, so that you may boast. That's how you learn Christ, Bazalwane. Not in any other ways. That is how we learn Christ. And many students here will know this or will resonate with this reality too well. Maybe it has happened to you. You gave your life over to Christ in some meeting. It might happen student-wide or on campus or even here or even during our Friday night. You gave yourself, your life over to Christ. Then this is what happened. You went home for holidays. When you got home, now you start being pressured now. Your family rituals are there. They say, "No, you can't abandon your roots. Yes, this Jesus thing idea, it's fine, but this is who you are." Pressure comes. Suddenly the old ways feel strong again. Maybe you are here and realizing that some of your old sinful patterns, your habits, they're starting to come back. Those pictures and images, yes, those ones. Porn is resurfacing again, coming back to you. It's wearing you down. You know those struggles when it makes you to even not want to pray to God and repent because of your shame you are feeling during that point. Paul says here, remember how you learned Christ. And the way you can do that is go back in your mind to that moment or that season when the gospel broke through. When the lights came on, do you remember yourself being in fire during those days? Go back to those moments in your mind, because the battle is in the mind. When you realize Jesus is not just greater than your ancestors, but he is even Lord over them. He's the only one you can now fear, the one you can trust and obey and live for, but because of what he has done for you, he transformed you from death into life. That's the motivation to serve this God. He saved you and me. We didn't contribute with anything. So, Bazalwane, Jesus didn't just add something new to our old life. No. He gave you and me a completely new identity. We are given a completely new identity sitting there. The truth is this: you are no longer defined by your family tradition. You are no longer defined by your failures. You are no longer defined even by your past. But you are defined by your new identity in Christ, which is you are now the child of God. Say, neighbor, I am the child of God now. I am the child of God. And you know what you must do? Make it a habit, Bazalwane, to remember your conversion story regularly, especially when temptation to compromise come. Remember again. Let the memory of God's saving power strengthen you during those moments. Remember, I said, when you look back, the only thing you should see is disgust and say, "I'm not going back to this life. I've got something better waiting for me, which is Christ." Amen? And there was a song which I love, but I can't sing. It says, "When I remember what the Lord has done, I will never go back anymore." When you remember, you make a decision. Say, "No, I'm not going back. Even no matter what pressure you can bring to me, but when I remember what the Lord has done in my life, when I look back in this disgust and shame I'm coming from, I will never go back there." Amen? So when you clearly remember what you learned when you heard Christ, that old futile thinking loses its power over you. And then you are able to say no to sin and say yes to God, say yes to live a godly life to the glory of God, to be a good gospel witness to both the believers and non-believers, to live out your new identity in Him. And how do we do that? Third point, renew your new self. Renew your new self. Verses 22 to 24. Paul finishes the sections here with a positive command. Let me read 22 to 24. You were taught with regard to your former ways of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Amen? So this is both a once-off old decision when we decide to accept Christ, and when we decide to accept this gift of salvation, and also a daily conscious commitment to this thing. It's not just a once-off and then it's done, but it's a conscious daily commitment to commit to this new identity of living it out now. Amen? So, bazalwane bami, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind is to put on the new self, which is the person God created you and me to be in Christ, and that is to obey God and be holy as our God is holy. We are called into true righteousness and holiness, and we should live that thing out. It's not enough to know it, but we live it out. So our old way of life before we believed in Christ is completely in the past. We should put it behind us like old clothes which are ready to be thrown away. Actually, we must throw it away. Amen? So people should be able to see the difference, bazalwane, between our believers and non-believers by living our true identity. So the new identity is built on the grace of God through Jesus, our Lord and Savior, as Ephesians says. Ujabulani, help us to go through Ephesians 2 behind us. But I will just pick up a few points. Chapter 2, verse 4 to 7, which says, we have been made alive with Christ, and it's by grace we have been saved. God raised us up with Christ, and it's by grace you have been saved. Is the gift of God from these verses we are picking. So what we must do is live, talk, walk as those who are already seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. Amen? Before, we must set our minds on the things above where our Savior is, not on the things of this world, because we'll always be tempted to keep going back to them. So how do we do this practically? So I've been saying we are doing this practically, and you are there at sitting on your edge. Okay, how? How? As I've said, it's not a once-off time event. It's a daily renewal, bazalwane. To feed your mind daily on God's word. Want to know how? Feed yourself with God's word. Read your word in prayer. These things help to transform the way you think and about God. Feed, that's your diet this week. Feed yourself in the word and prayer and see what will happen in your mind. Remind yourself regularly the truth of your new identity in Christ, that you've been washed, mind you. You are holy. Jesus Christ died for you and washed you, washed your sins completely. And one important thing, which Jablan always say, would say, surround yourself with believers who will always remind you of your true identity and always challenge you when you are going astray. Say, hey, come back. You must surround. We are saved into a community of believers. Don't be a lone ranger and disappear and think you're going to survive in this journey. When those moments and thoughts come, finding you alone, you are gone. It's over. Amen. Use the community. Use the community. When old thoughts, patterns come, saying, okay, man, this is just my culture, man. I can do these things, both of them. Or I will just only watch one video. It wouldn't harm that much. Or, I know, maybe it will just be my last time now after this sermon, sleeping around with my girlfriend and my boyfriend. It will be just the last time. You know, when those thoughts come, go to God, confess. He's always waiting for you and me to come to him when we mess up. In fact, we depend on him to sustain even our life, as to live out our identity. So, bazalwane bami, the battle, okay, let me say, the mind is our battlefield. This is where everything is happening. So if you win it here, the holy living will just follow naturally. Amen? And I've been talking so much with us who are believers here. Let me speak directly to someone here who is not yet a Christian. Maybe you came today because a friend invited you. Say, you know, just come along to our conference. Or maybe you are here, you are just still figuring things out. You've got questions. Right now you might be thinking, okay, this thing sounds really good for other people, but I'm not ready for it. Or my family and culture, hey, makes it very hard for me to commit myself into this thing. Oh, I still have questions, Jay. I can't commit to this Jesus. God's word today is not just for believers, but it is an invitation to you as well, as you are here. Because without Christ, every one of us, including myself without Christ, was walking in darkness. Our thinking was futile. We were separated from the life of God. For some of us, that meant ancestral practices. I keep on pounding on this point because it is a problem. It was greed, sexual immorality, and just living for ourselves, thinking that you are a god on your own. But deep down, many of us, bazalwane, knew exactly something was missing in this life. Life felt empty, no matter how hard we tried to fill it up with things that we were doing. And we've got so many diets to try and fill this empty space in our lives. The truth of the matter is that you can't save yourself in your own life. You are dead. The truth is your ancestors cannot even give you peace with God because they are still waiting judgment themselves. Good deeds, culture, or trying harder will never make you right with God. You are dead, helpless, in your sins without Christ. That's why you need a rescuer. That's why you need an outside help, and that is the man, Jesus Christ. You need Jesus. And the good news is this, that while we were still living in that darkness, Jesus came. He lived a perfect life we could never live. He died on the cross to take punishment for our sins, for your sin and my sin during that time. Every impurity, every wrong thought, every time we choose the old way, he rose again and defeated death. And offering a new life. That's what Jesus did for us. And that's why Paul says in this verse 20 to 21, this is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ. And today, this morning, can be the day you learn Christ for the first time in your life. If the Holy Spirit is stirring your heart right now as you are sitting there, and you recognize the emptiness in your life without him, if you see your need for forgiveness, and if you want new identity that we've been talking through this conference, then here is what you must do. Turn away from the old futile life, which is that process is called repentance, and put your trust in Jesus. That is having faith in Christ. So my challenge for you is to repent and believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. When? Now. We don't know what the future holds. Now. He wants to change your identity. He wants to include you in his family. He wants you to be part of his children right now. So you don't need to clean yourself up first. That's the good thing. You don't need to fix your family situations back home first because you can't. You simply need to surrender your life to Jesus. When? Now. And come to him now. There's no other help you can get from somewhere else outside this. Don't miss out on this great opportunity to get to know Jesus Christ. Allow him to fix you and give you a new start in life, a new identity. Amen? Don't let this identity conference pass you by without receiving a new identity yourself. Come to Jesus, my sister and brother. Surrender your life to him. Let him rule over it. Just think about that for a second. Reflect on your life. Where are you? And see what you deeply need this rescuing. You need peace in your life. You need to be restored back into a relationship with God. Now, let me recap for us in closing. So how do we live out our new identity and win the battle of our mind? Just taking us back now, we are reflecting. We said, one, reflect honestly on your past. See the futility and darkness you were rescued from, one. Two, recall your changed life, which is remember what you learned when you heard about Christ. And three, renew your mind daily. Put off the old self and put on new self created in God's likeness. These three things. Bazalwane bami, never forget that you are not who you used to be now. That should stir us and spare us on. We are not what we used to be. You fully belong to Jesus now and no one else and nothing else. You don't owe the devil anything. You have died to sin. You now live as a child of God. So Jesus is greater than even every ancestral spirit or every cultural pressure that might come or every deceitful desires that we might be feeling. There's someone who's greater than that and is willing to save us. Amen? Let's close our eyes as I pray. Plus, be reflecting on where you are with God. Lord, illuminate our minds again today. Help us remember who we are without you, who we were without you, and rejoice in the moment you saved us, and walk daily in the renewal of our minds. May we live out our true identity in Christ for your glory, I pray. Amen.